tonight, I just have the sense that the enemy is working in our midst, in a lot of our lives. He's trying to distract us. He's causing all kinds of dissensions and all stirring things up, because that's what he likes to do. That's really all he can do. But I know who my God is, and I want to just go over a little bit who Jesus is. That's what our study was this week, and I don't think we're going to split up tonight, Dustin. I think we'll just go ahead and do that after this and then worship with them and whatever. Just let the Lord do what he wants. So you guys get to hang with us tonight, all right? And God's got something in store tonight. But if you got your studies, I do want to go over some of this. God, Jesus the Christ, who is this Jesus we're singing about? Matthew 16, verses 15 through 17. Jesus was asking in this scripture, in this portions of scripture, he was basically asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? And some of them said Elijah, you know, a prophet or a good teacher. But he looked at Peter and he said, Simon, who do you say to I am? And Simon Peter answered and he said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, who here can say at one time, and you don't even know how it happened, but God somehow revealed to you that he is God, Jesus. Somehow God opened your heart up and you understood, yes, I believe God created faith in you and something in you said, Jesus is the Son of God. He really did come and die on a cross for me. God, I believe you. If we can understand how powerful that is, that God can somehow get us humans who really have no understanding, no comprehension of who he is, somehow he breaks open inside of us the knowledge of who he is. That's awesome. I remember when that happened for me. I've never been the same since God revealed himself to me in that way. So we understand who he is because God reveals himself. And we understand that Jesus is and was fully God. He wasn't just a good teacher or a prophet. He is the revelation of who God is. In other words, he reveals who God is. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word was God. And then if you go down, further down to like verse 16, somewhere around there, I don't have mine numbered, it says the Word became flesh. That's what happened when that little baby was born through that virgin, Mary. God became flesh. Flesh. The Word of God became living flesh. Emmanuel, that's what that name means. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came in the flesh. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He's our Savior. Titus 2:13 talks about him, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, he saves us from our sins. He saved me. He rescued me. I was destined for hell. I was destined for separation in utter darkness forever and ever and ever. But Jesus saved me. He rescued me. He's eternal life. In other words, he somehow got it in my head. And I remember when I was around your guys' age, thinking about life, looking forward, thinking, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. But one day I'm going to die. And then what? And I thought to myself, well, where's the hope in that? Because I was already experiencing the hopelessness that's in this world. And everyone experiences that, who is not going after God, who is not laying hold of God, they're holding something else. They're pursuing other things in this life, and they find out that it's empty. They think it's going to give them something, and they get it, and it's empty. It's unsatisfying. But Jesus gives us something that will last for all eternity, and he gives us a hope that doesn't fade away like the things of this world. 1 John 5, verse 20 says, "This is the true God, an eternal life." That helps me, because no matter how bad things are, no matter how my life here just seems sometimes meaningless, and, you know, what's the point? I remember, no, I have eternal life. I have a living hope. I'm headed somewhere. This isn't what it's all about. This isn't where I should put all my concerns and worries. No, I have a living hope. I can rest and know that Jesus has given me eternal life. I'm going to skip some of these. Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Again, no one else can cleanse you from your sins. Nobody. Jesus earned the right, paid the price for your sins, for my sins. Says in Mark 2, verse 10, "The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." No one else can say that, but Jesus can, because he made a new and living way. He gave his life a ransom for many. He paid a price nobody could ever pay. So he has authority to forgive sins. And it also talks about that Jesus will raise up the faithful from the dead. So again, there's that eternal life. John 6:54. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood." And what he meant there was whoever receives my sayings and believes them. Because, right, the word became flesh. So he was talking about his doctrine and what he was teaching. Whoever receives and eats and feeds upon me, partakes of my teaching and does them, he will have eternal life. Jesus laid down his life, and he raised it himself up again. No one can do that. I just watched a teaching from Times Square Church on the resurrection and why that makes Christianity distinct from any other religion in the world. No one else can claim that their prophet rose from the dead. Nobody. It proved that Jesus was who he said he was. He is who he claims to be, because he rose from the dead. He's the creator. See, that does away with, you know, Jesus was lesser than the Father. No, he was and is the creator, because it says in John 1:3 that all things were made through him. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. And he's also sustains the creation. So just think about what it would take, the energy it would take to keep all the worlds in motion, to keep the sun burning, you know, for thousands of years, all the energy that's involved in that, all the different variables that make life, you know, possible on this planet. I don't know if you've ever studied that, but there's so many different intricacies that if every one little thing isn't happening, life ceases to exist. You think that's just happening? No, God's word is sustaining it. It's upholding it. He keeps the world spinning at right distances from the sun and their orbits and everything. The word of God is doing that right now. That's how in control God is. And he can't handle my situation? See, you have to understand who Jesus really is. He's huge. He's so beyond our comprehension. He sustains everything, keeps it all in motion. He claimed that I am. That was huge. When the Pharisees were questioning him in John 8, and he says to the religious leaders of that day, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And after that, they just wanted to murder him because they understood what he was saying. He wasn't just saying, "I am a great teacher." The word "I am" came from the Old Testament. Remember when God revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 3? And Moses is all worried. He's like, what am I going to tell these people? I don't even know your name. Who do I tell them that even talk to me on this mountain? And God spoke to him and he said to Moses, "I am who I am." In other words, I'm everything. You can put whatever you want after "I am." God is "I am." I am that I am. And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." So when Jesus said that, they understood what he was saying. I'm God. That's why they wanted to kill him. But yet, he's fully man. He's God, but he's fully man. Right? This is so important for us to understand because that means he understands everything we go through. He sympathizes with us. He became a man so he can relate, understand what we go through. He was tempted, the Bible says, in every way that we were tempted. So he understands what we go through. He's not, indifferent to us, but he's actually sympathetic to us. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 16, that he doesn't give aid to the angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful, faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For that in he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. That's comforting to me. I can never say to God, "You don't understand." He does understand. He experienced everything I experienced. He faced everything for me so that he can help me. He can help you in your time of need. He matured just like anybody else. It talking about Jesus, it said the child grew. He became strong in the spirit. He was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. He got hungry. Just like we do. Jesus got hungry, just like we do. It says in Matthew 4, 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So when he got tempted from the devil, he was really hungry. 40 days with no food. And it would have been nothing for Jesus to make bread out of the stones, but he told the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So he was teaching us something about how to fight temptation, that we need to feed on the word of God and not let our fleshly appetites dictate what we do. We need to obey God. If we'll obey God, he'll sustain us because he sustained Jesus in the wilderness. He got tired, just like anybody else. And he also was troubled when he was facing the ultimate in suffering for us. I'm going to be talking about that on Sunday when Jesus went through his trial in the Garden of Gethsemane and he sweat drops like blood. And he said, "Father, if this cup can pass from me." In other words, he saw, he knew what was coming and he struggled with it. Jesus in the flesh, "Father, if this cup can pass for you." So he knows what it's like. He understands your struggles when things are hard and you're just like, "God, I don't know, God, can this cup pass from me?" But yet we learn from him how to go through and how to find strength. Because it says after that he was strengthened by the angels. That's what we need. We need divine strength to go through the trials we face in life. So he was troubled. And over suffering and death, just like any other person, In other words, he relates to us even in that. He's our interceder. He's our interceder. In other words, Jesus right now is praying for you. It says he's at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes. He prays for you and I. He's kind of like a lawyer, and he's going to be that one day for us, because one day we're all going to stand in the judgment. And it says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. He is my only hope when we stand before the throne. He's our advocate with the Father. He says, no, they're innocent. And the Father looks at us and he sees the righteousness of Christ covering us. And we're declared clean. And we're able to enter into heaven because of Jesus. So he's our example as well. I don't know how to love. I don't know how to serve people. I don't know how to humble myself. But when I look at Jesus, I can learn from him. Because he walked in every aspect of love perfectly. If you read the Gospels, you can learn from Jesus. And he gives us an invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have the sense that God wants us to draw near to him tonight. I can look out tonight and I know some situations. I know the kind of day Rose and I had yesterday and today. My sister now is with John back up in the hospital because he's got a bad infection. And it's been one thing after another. I could just go on and on and on and on. And it's like the devil is stirring up. He likes to do that. But you and I got to understand something. He ain't in control. He is not in control. And God is faithful. And God calls us in the midst of that battle, that struggle, to come. To come to him. Because you can't fight your battles. You cannot fight your own battles. Remember, there was the seven sons of Sceva, and they tried to cast a demon out of some guy in the name of Jesus, but they didn't. They were trying to do it in their own strength, and they basically ripped up all their clothes, beat them up, and they all ran away naked. It's a picture of us trying to fight the devil in the flesh. You can't do it. Peter, you know, when he said, Lord, you know, I'll die for you, and Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Never, Lord. And then Jesus said, Peter, I know your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. You don't understand yet, Peter. You're not going to be able to muster up in yourself, because there's going to be an evil that comes into the garden that you are not going to be able to stand up against. And you're all going to be swept away. But you're going to learn from it, and I'm going to pray for you. And you know what he prayed? That their faith would be strengthened. And that's what God is teaching us, to strengthen our faith, to increase our faith. And all that means is understanding who he is and saying, Lord, I know what this looks like. I don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand this, but God, I know who you are. You have revealed yourself to me. And Lord, I believe what you say about yourself. And God, I can look back even on my life and recount your goodness and the many times I shouldn't have made it, like we heard tonight, the testimony. But God, you've been faithful. And like David, when he came up against Goliath, remember he said, I've killed a lion, I killed a bear, and this Philistine, he's going to be nothing different. This was a giant standing in front of a boy probably your age. And he had a sling and five stones. And he said, the Lord's on my side. You're not going to win. The Lord's the one that's fighting for me anyway. But David learned that when he was a shepherd out in the field and he was protecting the sheep, and a lion would come or a bear would come and try to kill the sheep. And even at a young age, David learned how to trust in God, because he would talk to God under the stars. And God was already preparing him, because he knew David would have greater battles, that he would be a king one day. So he was teaching him early on how to fight and how to trust the Lord, that even as a boy, he could kill a bear. And mind you, he didn't have a nice rifle or something like that. He probably, maybe with the stone, I don't know. But when he faced this giant that, by the way, all the mighty men of war were running away from, they were afraid. Here comes this probably 15-year-old kid. And he's like, what is this? What are you guys doing? Don't you know who God is? That was basically what he was telling the armies of Israel. Don't you know? Have you forgotten who our God is? You're going to let this Philistine, this one big giant goof, thwart the whole army? No one would go up against this guy. And here comes David in the strength of the Lord. And with one shot, kills him, cuts his head off. What giant are you facing tonight? Do you know who Jesus is? Are you trusting him? Are you drawing near to him? Or are you running to other things? See, that's a problem. When you're in a trial, when it's hard and you want to run to other things, it's not going to help. That's what the enemy wants. That's why he tries to distract us. He tries to derail our faith. He tries to scare us. He tries to make it seem like our problems and our situations are just too big and overwhelming, and I'm just not going to be able to do it. That's all he can do. Blah, blah, blah. He's got no teeth. Jesus has taken the bite out of him. All he can do is talk and speak and lie to you. But God wants to teach you how to be men and women of war. We watched Times Square last night, and I felt led to show it tonight. I got it queued up.